Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain also will be back with us on Monday as well. I have to change his schedule a little bit next week, but he joins us every Friday also to talk some NFL. Phone lines are open right now. If you want to jump in, 615-737-1045, 737-1045, whatever you want to talk about across the league. And there are plenty of stories to get into. We can talk about it with John McClain. John, welcome in.
Thank you very much, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Well. So, John, I saw your text or your tweet last night about T.O. that you really don't care if he's there or not. It's just one less speech to have to sit through, even though he was inducted and he's declining the invite to show up in Canton.
As I tweeted, I don't give a rat's, you know what, if he's there. Ceremony will be shorter. I'll be writing on deadline about players who understand what an honor it is, and they'll show up, like Robert Brazil, the Oilers outside linebacker, waited 34 years and says he has to pinch himself every day to make sure he's not dreaming that he's actually going to Canton to be inducted. Who cares about T.O.?
John, let's run through a couple basics here. You've been on this committee for a long time. I've been on it, I think, going on 4 years now. I'm going to hit a couple bullet points. Let's talk through them together. A lot of people are saying or suggesting this is unquestionably intended to slight the selection committee in exchange for making him wait. Now, we probably are last on the list of people actually being slighted.
Well, we're not slighted at all, and only about five or six of us actually go to cover.
We're not there either, generally speaking.
The only reason I cover it is because Robert Brazil's in there. Otherwise, I wouldn't be there. Now, I hope that he hasn't sold his day to make money. Somebody's invited him to have a party or something. But the way I look at it, he's in. He has his buzz. I would have voted for him even if I knew he wasn't going to be there. And what I hate about this, Paul, is because the media will make such a big deal out of him not being there, and it's going to take away from the guys who are there. They'll all be asked about it multiple times. And I can't wait to see what he says. Don't know if we'll be able to believe it or not. But one thing I find interesting, you know, he did not come to Minneapolis to celebrate with all the other Hall of Famers. But he did go to Canton recently because they have to do preparation and planning, and he did show up for that. And then it was afterward that he decided he wasn't coming. So if he was trying to show people he was angry at not being a first-time inductee, why would he have gone to Canton? I think there's something more to it than him trying to snub the committee. And by not showing up, he snubs the Hall of Fame and all the greatest players, coaches in history, but they're not going to miss him either.
Agree entirely. Now, another theory that's floating is that a team often helps a guy pay to have his extended family there or throw his party, where, you know, Jerry Jones's party got a lot of attention last year for how lavish it was and everything. Guys, certainly players don't certainly throw stuff quite to that level, but T.O. is not loved by the teams that he was on. Nobody's really taken ownership of him when his career was spread out among a couple, two prominent teams and then a couple others at the end. You think there might be something there?
I think if that was an issue, he reached out to Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones would have paid for his party. Amy Adams Strunk is paying for Robert Brazil's party. Those parties are set up in tents on the premises afterward unless somebody goes somewhere else. But they don't. They're as elaborate as you want them to be. Eddie DeBartolo, who's been generous with his players through the decades, I'm sure he would have paid for it. But another thing is players had to turn in their guest list weeks ago. So obviously he turned in a guest list with all the people that were going to come, family members, friends, coaches. I don't know how many from the NFL would have been there, but he had coaches at UT Chattanooga in high school. And so he would have turned that in. That's why I just don't buy the fact that he's trying to snub the committee for not putting him in on the first ballot, because that is so petty. I just don't think even T.O. would do that. I think there's something else to it.
You just broke a bit of news there as far as Nashville's concerned, telling us that Amy Adams Strunk is paying for Robert Brazil's Hall of Fame party. Is that, in fact, common? And she's obviously embraced the Oiler legacy, having been around the team as a kid.
Yeah, that's the way it's always done. Team you play, pay for, they pick up the tab. Bud always paid for the other Hall of Famers who were in there. And Amy's picked up where her dad left off. And now, when a player's with a bunch of teams, usually it's the main one. And I don't know that T.O. has a main one. Would it be the 49ers or the Cowboys? You know, I'd be curious, you know, when Charles Haley went in, he was an incredibly bad teammate to people. Mm-hmm. And he said in his speech, he invited coaches and players to come. They wouldn't come. And he apologized to them for the way he acted toward them. You know, he found out he was bipolar. And he apologized in his speech to him, but he still had a whole lot of people there. So, like I say, I hope he doesn't end up at some beach in Mexico with a sponsor on Hall of Fame induction weekend.
Well, John, let me throw out my theory on that, because you just hit the nail on the head. There is a financial opportunity here for T.O. that we are going to find out about soon. Leading up to that, there is going to be something that he's going to benefit from financially.
Oh, I agree. I think that, I hope that's not the case. I can't imagine player or coach or executive doing that, because going to that as many times as I have, and I see what it means to them, whether you get in on the first ballot or you have to wait 40 or 50 years like Jerry Kramer. And I see they all turn to mush. They're so happy and appreciative, and being able to celebrate with their family and friends. And that's why I was so surprised. Somebody said, this is so T.O. Well, the thought did not cross my mind.
John McClain on with us right now from the Houston Chronicle. John, there was a tweet last night from Gary Myers, and it reads, and of course he votes on the Hall of Fame. Terrell Owens informed Pro Football Hall of Fame he's not attending induction ceremony. Unprecedented. Classy guy. If I knew he would not show up, I would have voted for somebody who would have. Fair or foul? To come back after the fact, Gary Myers. To come back after the fact and say, I'm only voting for people who want to be there.
Well, first of all, that's never been an issue. And so that's Gary's opinion. My opinion is, I would have, as I said earlier, I would have voted for him even if I knew he wasn't coming. We have guys at Texas Sports Hall of Fame. I'm on that selection committee, and we vote for him. And then we know there's a chance that they're not coming, like Greg Popovich, the Spurs coach. And he told us when his career was over and he had time, he would come and accept his induction. And so we've had that with two or three, and we understood it. And so it was no big deal not voting them in. And T.O., I don't know if he'll ever go to the Hall of Fame. His bust will be there, right there with all the other greatest players. He'll be in the 49ers exhibit. He'll be in the Cowboys exhibit, Eagles, because he played with so many teams. But, that was Gary's opinion. Paul, what's your opinion?
Again, I think it doesn't slight me or us in the least. It slights the Hall of Famers. I voted for him every time he was available on the ballot. I think the newsworthiness, chat of that tweet, I couldn't have told you which way Gary Myers voted, and I probably would have thought he was, not from stuff in the room, just from as I know him, I would have thought he was probably against. So we've learned that Gary Myers was not against T.O., at least this year.
Something always, I don't know why I let it bother me, is people in the media or former players say they know why we do certain things. Like Mike Florio wrote, a reason we put him in is we might have felt pressure, be pressured. We don't get pressured by anybody.
And how do you know
we
it's
don't
in somebody
feel
else's
pressure?
Head.
We don't. That's just preposterous. And I wish people knew what we know, heard what we heard, that we can't disclose things that we hear about certain candidates, whether it's good or it's bad. and sometimes they would be amazed.
John, what was it like in your house last night as the Washington Capitals skated the Stanley Cup around?
My wife grew up in D.C. and started going to Caps games with her mother when in their expansion year of 74-75, and we met in 86, started dating in 87, so we went to watch hockey playoffs every year. And the Caps had so many times, like, you know, last year they had the most points and they couldn't get, I think the Penguins beat them. That was their nemesis. They couldn't get past the Penguins. And then this year, nobody expected much from them. You know, the Preds were the best team. And then here came the Caps, no pressure, came really out of nowhere. And so I think she told me the ratings were up like 60%. She stayed up for hours watching post-game everywhere she could, reading on the internet, looking at Twitter, every 5 seconds telling me who all tweeted congratulations. And I'm like, oh, that's great, dear. And, you know, I liked it, too. I was happy for them. But it wasn't like the Astros winning their first World Series to me.
Well, and the top five markets for TV ratings, last night's game, number one was Vegas. Number two was D.C., but numbers three and four were Richmond, Virginia, and Baltimore, Maryland.
Isn't that amazing? Right. Well, I guess the Richmond likes all the D.C. teams Baltimore. It was interesting. The Orioles, the Ravens, University of Maryland, they were all tweeting good luck and congratulations. So I'm happy. When a team's gone that long and you think about the teams, the Astros had gone 56 years, they'd gone, what, 44 years. The Eagles have gone since 1960, and the Warriors won last year.
Well, and it's if you're a hockey fan in Baltimore, I mean, I guess it makes sense that you're a Caps fan. But the fifth placed city in that market, John, and one that we marvel at that's always in the top five for hockey, Buffalo, New York.
Isn't that amazing? With all the frustration they've had with the Sabres all that time, but I saw some tweets coming out of up there. If Caps, why not Sabres?
Yep, they watch every year, that's for sure. Let's go to the phones. Phone line's open if you want to jump in with John McClain also at 737-1045. Jason is up next. Hey, Jason, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, guys. Don't mean to diverge from your hockey talk, but you got John, so I figured out.
Oh, yeah, we want to talk football. That was a quick aside.
Hey, good stuff. Hey, so quick question. I didn't really have an NFL team where I grew up, so I kind of became more of a fan of team based on players that I like. John, there's a comment I heard a couple weeks back from Sean Payton down with the Saints. They drafted a guy that I was a big fan of last year. Actually, they picked him up after he was cut from the Packers, a guy by the name of Taysom Hill, and he was sort of their backup quarterback last year and did some special team stuff. Well, I guess Coach Payton a couple weeks ago made a comment that he felt like the heir apparent to Drew Brees was in the house, and I know they've got a few different guys on staff, but I wanted to see if you could maybe talk a little bit about what you see happening with the Saints a couple years down the road, if and when Brees heads on, if you think any of those guys there would fit that system Peyton has, or if they'll go elsewhere.
Well, first of all, I think the Saints are a Super Bowl contender. As you know, as a Saints fan, they had that unbelievable loss to the Vikings and Case Keenum on the last play. And so Drew Brees is in great shape, only had one injury in his career. That's what got him to New Orleans. He hasn't been hurt since he's been with the Saints, like Tom Brady, and I think most quarterbacks now. He wants to play into his 40s. So I do not believe they have the heir apparent on their current roster.
Julian Edelman facing a 4-game suspension because of testing positive for PED. It broke the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances. John, what does this mean for the Patriots?
Well, they played all without him last year and went to the Super Bowl. But more than that, what does it mean? I read a column by Dan Shaughnessy that was a win for Belichick because Bill Belichick doesn't like Alex Guerrero, the TB12 guru for Tom Brady, working with all the other players. And Julian Edelman, in his rehab from knee surgery, said has been working closely with Guerrero, who lost his privileges with the team last year. And they believe that is the crux of the problems between Brady and Belichick. It doesn't have to do anything to do with money, that it has to do with Alex Guerrero and his growing influence on Patriots, who's experts on the team, teach it a different way. And so right away, people are thinking, did Guerrero give him something that caused him to test positive? And then Guerrero came out with a tweet to certainly distance himself between him and Julian Edelman. So can't wait to see if Edelman stays with him or goes back into the Patriot fold.
John, I feel like every time there's a story like this, we want to jump to the conclusion that, boy, we're witnessing the end of the Patriots' dominance. And now it's going to start to go downhill. And every time we say that or think that, it's proven to be wrong, that everything's going to be just fine. But I feel like there's a lot of smoke here. With everything going on with Belichick and Brady, the Alex Guerrero situation you talked about, now Edelman's out, it seems like Rob Gronkowski's future's uncertain. Is there so much smoke now that we have to start to look at this and say, seems to be a lot of cracks in the armor at this point?
I'm certainly not. Gronk's is about money. They're redoing his contract again. He'll be happy. And this time next year, Chad will probably be saying the same thing. As long as Brady and Belichick are there together, they're still going to be the Super Bowl favorite every year. And Brady said again yesterday, he's not going anywhere.
John, what are the expectations like for Deshaun Watson there in Houston right now as he's coming back from injury?
I saw a story on the internet this week about quarterbacks under pressure, and he's not under pressure because he's coming off an injury. Now, next year he'll be under pressure, especially depending on what he does this season. He's 100. He's ready to go. He'll be ready to go at training camp. He's been out there every day since the offseason began. They keep him out 11-on-11 drills because they don't want somebody to fall and roll into his leg, and he'll be doing everything at the start of camp, just like J.J. Watt. I saw a national guy write, like it was news, that those guys will be ready for camp, when down here everybody's been saying it for weeks. But anyway, people are really fired up about him and the possibility that this could be a great offense based on what we saw in Watson's 6 starts last season.
John McClain, he joins us normally Tuesdays and Fridays here on the Midday 180. On Monday, he'll be back with us and then back with us again next Friday. John, always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Chad Paul, thank you very much as always.